And I have enjoyed the service thoroughly already, and just enjoyed the song service, being allowed to teach Sunday school. That's always a blessing. I enjoy teaching God's Word. Not going to say I'm good at it by any means, but I do enjoy it, and I do appreciate it. But again, I've enjoyed the song service. It always is a blessing to come to a church that has stuck by the stuff. And singing the old songs of Zion, haven't departed in any kind of way. You know, when a church departs from the faith, when it kind of goes and errs and strays, it's amazing how that it always starts out with the music. It always starts out with music. A lot of times it starts out with the music, then it gets into the dress, then it gets into the, you know, it has a course to it. But I'm thankful whenever you walk into these churches, and God's so gracious to allow us to come to them, and especially here at Unity as well, how that you just, again, sing the old songs of Zion. What that does is that just prepares your heart for worship. And I've actually been in several churches lately, and the Lord seems like He just is tried to get me to encourage the church to don't look at the song service as just it's just something that, you know, we have to kind of agonize through it to get to the preaching. That's not the way it is at all. It's very much a part of worship. It is not just a precursor. It just warms your heart is what it does. And I tell you, that's what it did for me. I tell you, every song that y'all sung this morning, it just kind of made me think about my Savior, made me think about my Lord, and that's what we want. I tell you, the last that song that I know, my Redeemer liveth. And Brother Ernest, you said the scriptures where it says in Job 19, it says, "Oh that my words were now written, oh that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." You know, I preach a message, or allows us to preach a message. Won't be preaching it this morning, unless the Lord changes something. But certainty in an uncertain world, that's the title. And I tell you, we need certainty in this uncertain world, don't we? And I can say this with everything that's within me, and this is certain. It's rock solid. It's steadfast. It's unmovable. That our Redeemer liveth. We know that. That statement that says to know, it means this. It means is to perceive or understand as fact or truth. Apprehend clearly and with certainty. We don't have to guess. We don't have to hope. We don't have to just say, well, I hope all this is real. No, folks. It is real. We serve a risen Savior today, and we can be so thankful for that. Well, let's turn to Psalm 107 today. Psalm 107 this morning. Again, I want to say it's a privilege. And as you're turning there to Psalm 107, God's song book, I do want to say the last time I was here, I tell you, me and my son, and he wasn't able to come with us today, but and he regrets that too. He kept telling me, he said, "Dad, I want to go so bad, but I just can't." And me and him were talking again about how good you were to us, or you all were to us. You were so good to us in so many ways, feeding us. I tell you, what a blessing! And I hear word that you're going to do it again today. Now listen, do you guys have meals after every service, or is it just because I'm here? I got some people saying every chance we get. I'm with you. I enjoy that. I surely do. But in all sincerity, we do thank you for feeding us. Thank you for just the, I tell you, what a very, very generous love offering. And I'll say this, it came at just the perfect time. I told Pastor, I said, we were just in the middle of buying new curriculum for our children for homeschool. And we were kind of wondering, hey, where's that going to come from? And you have a part in the education of our children. So I appreciate that very much. And again, thank you very, very much. Psalm 107 is where we'll be. Psalm 107, just for a little while. I'm going to read just probably the first eight verses, and then we'll give you our thought for this morning. Psalm 107, starting out in verse 1, and I may kind of just preach as I go just a little bit. I usually try to read the text and then give you the thought. But I tell you, it's just too rich. I'll just say that. It's just way too rich. I find myself gravitating in the days that we're in and what's going on in my own personal life. I find myself gravitating to the book of Psalms. What a edifying, encouraging book that it is. Folks, it'll help you. It'll give you help when you're down. It'll when you read through it, again, a majority of it just points to our Savior, points to the Lord. And isn't it really all about Him? It really is. It's truly all about Him. Maybe not so much about the circumstances that are going on in our life, but it's all about Him. Not belittling those circumstances or anything, but it truly is all about Christ. And look how it starts out. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. I want to stop there just for a moment. You know, in the past, He was good. In the past, He was good. I think about it, brothers and sisters, how that He was good to me even before I was saved. He was good to me. He was good to me for even allowing me to walk into Friendship Baptist Church on October the 12th, 1997, on a Sunday morning, and allow me to hear the gospel, allow me to see myself as lost, allow me to see Him as the only way. And folks, here's where the real grace and mercy is that He allowed me to come back that night and be gloriously saved. You see, He would have been a holy God if He had only dealt with me one time. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters. He not only dealt with me that morning, He allowed me to leave the service, and only in His mercy, He allowed me to come back that night and hear the Word of God preached again and fall under Holy Ghost conviction and be saved. And see, He saw that. In eternity past, He saw that would be the night that I'd be gloriously saved. So in the past, He was good. But not only in the past was He good, but He's presently good. He's presently good. I mean, He's good right now. I don't just lean on how He's been good in the past, but I can lean on how that He's presently good. So, preacher, how can you say that He's presently good? You've not lived in my shoes. You've not been in my shoes. Can I say this? I haven't. And I don't know what's been going on in your life. But I can say this. I can say that He's been good. That He is good now. No matter what's going on in your life, He's still good. No matter what circumstance, no matter what is happening with you, He is presently good right now. But not only is He presently good, but I like this one, He's practically good. So, preacher, what in the world do you mean by practically good? I mean that He's good in the everyday, just everyday things of life. He's good in the small things. He's good in the great big things, the large things. The things that many times we say, you know, how are we going to handle this? He's good in those things as well. But I don't want you to overlook those little things. I think oftentimes, and I'm guilty of this in my own life, oftentimes I overlook those small things that God does. I was thinking about it on the way in this morning about just how good God is, just giving us this thing of traveling mercies, just allowing us to make it to different places, different churches, and just allow us to experience what we experience. God is so good to us. Again, He's good practically. But I'll end with this one on this little point here. He is profoundly good. Profoundly good. Say, preacher, what do you mean by profoundly good? I mean this, that God does everything exceedingly. The Bible says that He does exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask according to the power that worketh in us. Exceeding abundantly. Those are exclamation point type things. That's not question marks. By the way, God doesn't deal with question marks. He deals with exclamation points and periods. Satan deals with question marks. Now, I won't even talk about him this morning. Last time I was here, I talked about him an awful lot, not in a positive way, but we just want to exhort the Lord and talk about Him today. So, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Aren't you glad that His mercies are new every morning? That His mercies are new every day, every morning. I wake up into new mercies. New mercies I see, the songwriter says. I can't live on yesterday's mercy. I've got to have mercy for today. And I'm thankful if the Lord will allow us to live till tomorrow, that I'll wake up and I'll put my feet into God's mercy one more time. What a blessing it is. I tell you, we don't get what we deserve, do we? Every single one of us, we can say this, that God's been merciful. God's been so merciful to us. And you know, when we think about God's mercy, it should translate into us being merciful to others, should it not? It really should. We want mercy, but oftentimes we don't want to give mercy. We want to be the receivers of mercy, but yet we don't want to give mercy back. We want forgiveness, but oftentimes we don't want to give forgiveness. But he goes on and says this, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation." Lastly, I'll end with this one. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Would you pray with us as we pray this morning? Father, we love you. And Lord, I do want to again just say thank you for being so good to me. Lord, you're so good to your children. You're even good to those that aren't your children, just being merciful and kind to them. But Lord, you're awful good to your kids. And I'm thankful for that. Thank you that you made me one of your own. Lord, that you birthed me into the family of God, and I praise you for it. Lord, we do thank you for this church. We pray for Unity Baptist Church, Lord, that you'll touch them in every way. Lord, you have a plan for this church. And Lord, I pray that you'll manifest that to these dear folks and to this dear pastor. I know that you've given Pastor a vision for this church. And Lord, I pray that you'll help him to define that vision and to, Lord, that you'll do a great work in this church. We do pray for all the requests that were given earlier. Lord, you'll answer them according to your will. Father, again, just help us. We need you. We can't do any of this without you. We're going to pray, Lord, that you'll guard our lips against anything that's unscriptural. Lord, help us just to preach what thus saith the Lord. Again, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy toward us. We ask these things in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. As we look at Psalm 107, just to give you a little background about it, this is one of the Psalms, and Psalm 107 through Psalm 119 are often looked at as Psalms of when the children of Israel were led out of captivity, out of Babylonian captivity, and they're making their way back into Jerusalem and starting to build the temple and doing other things like that. This is the songs that they were singing on the way, on that journey, on that voyage. And what is interesting about this psalm is that you can see also in this, you can see that there are four pictures that are very prevalent in this psalm that kind of will jump out with you if you'll just study it out and kind of look into it. And I was amazed again. I've read through these several times, and the Lord has given us a message out of this. But it was amazing how that these four pictures, I guess you could say, just kind of jumped out at us. And we're going to just give you what we've got this morning and sit down. We'll go to the fellowship hall and eat here in just a little while. But I want to be a help to you and try to help you further along the road here just for a little while. But in Psalm 107, the first picture that I want you to see, and again, look at this as the psalmist. He has instead of using a paintbrush and using, you know, paint and colors and different things like that, what he's using to paint this picture is he's using words. And I tell you, don't skip over the words of the Word of God. Every word is there for a purpose. Every word is there for a reason. God does not just flippantly use words as just fillers. They're there for a reason. So every word, every jot, every tittle is used for a specific purpose. So what we see in verse 4 through verse 9 is we see a picture of a desert. A picture of a desert. And look what it says here. And what he's doing in some ways as he goes through the psalm is he's reminding the children of Israel where he's brought them from. Now, one thing that would do us all good this morning is to dwell or to think about this. Think about where God brought you from. We can even go over, I believe it's Psalm 106, if you would look at verse 10 there, Psalm 106 verse 10, if we was to go back up in verse 9, it says this, it says, "He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, so he led them through the depths as through the wilderness," and he goes on and he tells them what all he's done for. He reminds them, look what all I've done for you. And he does that throughout the Psalms. Amazing how many times the word remember comes up in the book of Psalms. You see, the children of Israel were prone to forget. I believe me and you have that same problem. I believe we've had a problem with this thing of forgetting about how good God has been to us and what wonderful works that God has done in our lives. But look what it says here in verse 11 of Psalm 106. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Won a great victory there. But look what it says just right after that. Then believed they His words. They sang His praise. We see one more time there. They believed His words. They sang His praise. And then what does it say in verse 13? They soon forgot His works. They waited not for His counsel. You can go down to verse 21. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. Folks, we are prone to forget what God has done for us. Have you thought about how that God brought you out of a desert place? How God brought you out of the wilderness? How He brought you out of a dry and barren land? How that He brought you out of a hopeless and helpless situation that you were in? Think about this. Think about Psalm 40, I believe it is. Psalm 40 says this, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. He brought me up also out. Look at that word, out. Out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Folks, He brought us out of the horrible pit. He brought us out of the miry clay. But listen, He didn't just bring us out of something. He brought us out that He might bring us in. And where did He bring us into? He established my goings. He brought us, you think about this, He brought us out of darkness into His wonderful light. He brought us out of a hopeless situation into hope. He brought us out of a helpless situation into help. He brought us out of being a child of wrath into being a child of the King, a child of disobedience into being a child of the King. He brought us out that He might bring us in. He brought us out of the desert there. We see that picture very clearly in verses 4 through 9. I won't read any further there. But not only do we see that picture of a desert and how that He brought us out of that, and He brought them out, and He was reminding them of that also. But also we see this picture in verse 10 of a prison. Not only a desert, but also a prison. Look what it says here in verse 10. It says, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Folks, me and you were slaves to sin before Jesus Christ redeemed us. And by the way, that word redeemed means to buy back, to purchase. And that's what Jesus Christ did through His darling Son, or through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through His blood, I'll say. He redeemed us. And what a blessing that is. But folks, we were held in sin's prison. We were a child of wrath and a child of disobedience, as we've already said. We were enslaved, in bondage to our sin, in bondage to a cruel taskmaster. But what happened? God saved us. God saved you. He set you free. Whom the Son shall set free shall be free indeed. Who Christ shall set free shall be free indeed. But we were held in a prison. You know, I thought about that on the way down here a little more. And that's the thing about a long ride. You got a little bit of time to meditate. And I tell you, I was driving with one hand and writing with the other. I don't know if that's legal, but I was doing it anyway. But what amazed me about that is I got to thinking about this. I got to thinking about the chains that I was bound by. You know, we've been set free, but how often do we tend to bind ourselves back up in those old chains. How we oftentimes will put that old man back on that we should be gone. That old coat, I guess you could say. But I've thought about it this way as well. How that those chains were let go, but oftentimes what we do to others is we'll set and we'll rattle those chains in front of someone. Now, Richard, what do you mean by that? I mean this, that they may be forgiven. God has forgiven them for whatever it is that they've done. They've repented of their sins. They've changed. God's forgiven them. God's forgotten about their past. But yet we won't forget about their past. And we're chain rattlers is what we are. Folks, do not be a chain rattler. Don't be one of those that reminds someone of their past sin. Don't jingle those chains in front of them. If Jesus has set them free, you set them free. So not only the desert, but also the prison as well. But we could go on. We can see also in verses 17 and 18, we can see a hospital, not only a desert and a prison, but a hospital. And I'm going to get to the one that I really want to focus on this morning. But again, a desert, a prison, but all of that, but a hospital in verse 17. Verse 17, it says this, "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death." A hospital. Folks, I tell you, we were ruined. Well, the Bible even says that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead in trespasses and sins. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We could give much more comment. We might give a little more comment on that one as well. But the main picture, the main one that I want to focus on this morning is this. It's in verses 23 through 32. And that is this one of a storm. Of a storm. Much preaching, no doubt, even behind this pulpit, has been done about storms. We all go through storms. Every single one of us go through storms. Either, well, I've heard it said before, either you're coming out of a storm or you're going into a storm or you're in one right now. And I can tell you that this Christian life is, it's made up of storms many times. And as we go through those storms, we grow and we become more like Him. And that's the end purpose of a storm, by the way, is to be fashioned and molded more like Christ. That's why He does them. And we got ahead of ourselves on that one. That was actually my end point. I guess I could stop right now, couldn't I? But I need to go on and give you the middle part of the message, I guess you could say. But this storm, what do we find with this thing of the storm? If you would, look at verse 23. Verse 23 says this. It says, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble." Now, I'm going to stop reading there for sake of time. But let's give some comment on this just real quickly. We're going to kind of try to unpack it as best we can. The first thing that I see is this. I see the place of the storm. The place of the storm. Say, preacher, where is the place of the storm? It is in those deep waters. I find it interesting that whenever you take a step for the Lord, it seems like there's a storm coming. Any time that you take a step of faith for the Lord, there usually is a storm that is coming in your life. It wasn't soon after I was saved that there was a great storm come into our life. It's as if God was so gracious to give us a little bit of a honeymoon period, I guess you could say. And then He tried to learn us and help us. And by the way, listen, not tempt us, but try us. You see, God doesn't tempt us. He tries us. He puts us through testings. And if you don't pass that test, there's a good possibility that He'll put you through it again. And what He does is He's trying to get us to pass those tests, to be more like Him again, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the place of those trials is this, it's those deep waters. Again, it says this, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters," and it goes on and it says, "These see the works of the Lord," in verse 23, "and His wonders in the deep." We can see God's wonders in the deep things, deep times of life, when we're really trying to serve Him. So the place there is those deep waters. But also this, I noticed that word business. Have you ever had a situation in your life where seemingly you were minding your own business and a great storm come into your life? Now, preacher, what do you mean by that? I mean this, that you were just kind of just going along, serving God, doing what you were supposed to do, doing what's right. You wasn't doing anything wrong. You wasn't doing anything that this world would look at you and say, well, there's a storm a brewing because of the way you're acting. You know, most of the times, storms don't come into your life because of something that you're doing. They just come into your life just because God is trying to do something in your life. So it can just be one of those things where it's just We're just going about our business, and then a storm comes. God is in control of those things, and that's what's next there. Look what it says in verse 25, not only the place of the storm, but the producer of the storm. Now, preacher, what do you mean by that? Look what it says in verse 25. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. May I say this morning, Jesus is still on the throne. He's still in control. He's not lost control. He's still very much in control. There's never been one time in my life or yours where He's ever lost control. We may lose control, but He never does. It says here that He commendeth or commandeth. You know, we are comfortable with Him calming our storms, but we kind of get a little nervous when He creates the storms. I'll say that again. We are okay with Him calming our storms. We want that. Oftentimes we pray, Lord, get me out of this storm. But folks, sometimes He just wants you to go through the storm. He wants you to see His grace as you go through it. Now, He can take you out of storms. I've watched that happen in people's lives before. I've watched Him take them out of a storm. But more times than not, I've watched Him give them grace to go through a storm. There's grace for every race. There's grace for every trial. There's grace for every need. Brother, we talked about that here a little while. And I know, again, the situation in you all's life, He has manifested His grace in a mighty, mighty way. And listen, let it be a lesson not only in this dear couple's life, but He'll do that in your life as well. You can see the grace of God manifested in someone's life, and you can say this, well, I hope it's that way when it comes to my time to go through a storm. And I'll say this, if you're a child of God, it will be that way for you. He'll give you grace for that. Not only the place, the deep waters, the producer, it's Him. But also this, the peril. And I think this is interesting. In verse 26, it says this. It says, they mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of the trouble. I tell you, as I read this verse, I get seasick. Because literally, and what it does is it tells us what a Christ-like life will be made up of. It's ups and downs. It's ebb and flow. Oftentimes, it's like a roller coaster. It really, truly is. But what's interesting is this, is that He's there every step of the way. Again, He's the producer of it. The Bible says that He's the author and the finisher of our faith. But it goes on, and look what it says here. I read verse 26, but let me read verse 27 again, talking about the storm, the peril of the storm. Verse 27 says, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. Look at this next phrase. And are at their wit's end. Have you ever been at your wit's end before? I'm talking about where you're at the bottom of the rope. Well, you feel like you're just grasping on to the very end of that rope. And you're at your wit's end. I tell you, it's a good place to be. It may not seem like it, but it's a good place to be. It may not feel too good. As the world looks on you, they may say, oh man, God bless their heart. Poor them. But I tell you what, when you get at your wit's end, you know, see, when you get at your wit's end, that's when you really your faith really truly begins. You know, a sailor is not really tested in calm seas. A sailor is tested in troubled seas. Our faith, what is it? A faith worth having is a faith worth, that like a trial. I know I butchered that one, but anyway, you know what I'm getting at. That's when our faith is truly tested, I'll say. Is whenever we have storms in our life. And not only the place, the producer, the peril, but also this, the prayer. Look what it says in verse 28. Probably one of the, just a great verse here. Look what it says in verse 28. It says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. We see that cry in many verses. We can go look over at verse 6. It says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And we can see it in many other places, but I'm so glad that He hears our cry, aren't you? I'm so glad that He hears us. You know, the true definition of grace is any time that God would have anything to do with me or you. That He would listen to someone like me. That He would bend His ear and incline His ear and actually listen to what me and you have to say. that the God of heaven, the God that created all things, that He would bend and listen to me and you. What a blessing that is, that prayer. And you know, it's a deep theological prayer that He hears. Say, well, wait a minute now. No, listen. It's not those deep theological prayers that He hears. You know, the greatest prayer that I've ever prayed were prayers that didn't even have any words, that were just the groanings of my heart. And if I could say a word, that one word was this: help, help. I've on more than one occasion I've uttered these words to the Lord. Lord, I've made a mess of this. I've made such a mess of this. Will you please bless this mess? That's what I've said before. I tell you, you know, many places in the Word of God, it's just a message for the messed up, ain't it? We're messed up in a lot of ways. All of us are. We mess up in a lot of ways. But I'm glad God's there to hear our prayer. God, help. Help us, please. He hears our cry. Not only that, but we can also see this. Not only the place, the producer, the peril, the prayer, but also this, the peace that we see here in this storm. That's in verses 29 and 30. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so He bringeth them under their desired haven. There's that calming presence during the storm. When God can step out and say, peace be still. My Lord, He's the only one that can do that. There's nobody, as well-meaning and well-intentioned as they may be, there's nobody that can walk up to you after a tragedy in your life and say, listen, you know, it may be comforting for them to say, you know, I'm praying for you and I love you and different things like that, you know, but no one can calm you like Jesus can calm you. No one can calm you like the Word of God can calm you. He is the one that speaks calming words into your heart. And how does He do it? He does it through His Word. Now, He may send a saint of God in somewhere just to maybe sing a song or give a testimony or whatever it may be, give an encouraging, edifying word, a word that builds up. And let's be careful to do that type of thing. I've had people say this before, is that, you know, they'll again, well-meaning, they'll come and they'll say, well, I understand. I absolutely understand. No, you don't. Each individual situation is different. You may not understand. It may look like you could understand, but you really don't. But God does. He calms. So we see there the peace, that calming peace. But also this, and I've probably given you this point throughout the message, but the purpose, what is the purpose? The purpose is this. It says, then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. We all have an idea of how we want our life to go. We have a desire to be in a certain port, to make it to a certain destination. But many times through life, what God will do is He'll take us and He'll say, no, I know that may be where you want to go, but it's not best for you at this time. And I'm going to put you over here. I'm going to lead you into this port. And aren't you glad that God leads us? He leadeth His dear children along. I'm glad that He's not a shepherd that is behind us, goading us along, but He leads us. When somebody leads you, it means they're going before you. It means they're experiencing what you're experiencing. Or they're going ahead of you. That's why I love it. Again, that verse, He's the author, the finisher of our faith. He knows what is ahead. He knows what tomorrow holds. And we could be so thankful of that. Not to alliterate you to death this morning. I know I've used a lot of the words that begin with P, but we'll continue on with that thought if you don't mind. Not only the peace and the purpose is this, to make you more like Jesus. That will be conformed to the image of His dear Son, to make you more like Him. That's what the purpose is. But we'll end with this one this morning. The praise. What I find is that is so interesting is that we'll go through this desert situation, the prison, the hospital, the storm, but just soon after all these experiences, what do we have? We have that statement, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. He wants us to praise Him at all times. At all times. It's easier preaching than it is living. But it's still true. I'll have you turn to 1 Thessalonians 5 with me, and you know where I'm going here. Again, talking about the storm, the praise after the storm. 1 Thessalonians 5, and we'll just read, start reading in verse 16. Especially during this time of year, but oh, how we need to carry it, not just during this time of Thanksgiving. There really ought to not be a day that we don't thank the Lord continuously. 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse 16, it says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in every good thing give thanks." Did somebody catch that? No, it says, "In everything give thanks." You know, that's impossible to do if you don't believe in Romans 8:28. Impossible to do. Impossible. Again, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It does not say "in all good things." It does not say "for everything give thanks." There's some things that come in our life that there's no way that we can give thanks for them. You know what I'm trying to say. But it says, "But in everything give thanks." Go back to Psalm 107. I'll give you these last verses and we'll be done. Then, this is verse 31. It says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders." You know, it's important for us to praise Him in the house of God, in the congregation. Now listen, it's very important for us to praise Him at work, at the restaurant, wherever we are, just to praise Him. But it's very important to praise Him in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. I've just pinned down a few things. You know, we can thank Him for His call. We can thank Him for the cry, that He hears our cry. We can thank Him for the course that He puts us on. We can thank Him for the care that He puts into our life, casting all our care upon Him, for He careth for us. We can thank Him for creation. We live in a beautiful land. By the way, we live in America, the greatest nation on the face of the earth, apart from for Israel. We can thank Him for the calming. And lastly, we can thank Him for the crowd that we get to be around. Think about that. The group of people that God puts us around, we can be so thankful for that. I tell you, even when we're at our wits' end, folks, we can still thank Him no matter what, where we're at. That desert, that prison, that hospital, the storm, wherever we may be in life, we can thank Him for what He's doing in our life at that moment. Let us pray. We will have you guys come on up. Father, we truly love you. We ask you to take this message and apply it to everyone's life, even myself. Lord, please help me not to just be preaching this, but be living it myself. Lord, I surely do love you. Thank you for this opportunity again. We do thank you for this dear pastor and his family. Lord, help them, bring them back to us safely. And Lord, I don't know what everybody needs in this service this morning, but you surely do. Lord, I pray that you'll accomplish what you would in this service. In Jesus' lovely name, amen and amen.